Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Now, here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome back. It's another episode of the Craig and Greg Show. I'm Craig. This is Greg. We want to talk to you about your IQ. That's a really important thing, right?
IQ?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ooh, are we playing Scrabble?
IQ is important, and I think that it's something that a lot of people put a lot of emphasis on, but I think what's probably a lot more important for a leader is the EQ, the ability to emotionally connect, that emotional quotient that we have. It's been called, and I think if you haven't read the books, Daniel Goleman has some great books about emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
And I know that as soon as I say the word emotion, so hold on a second, because there's going to be some people that go,
Do you have tissues?
It's touchy-feely stuff.
Yeah.
And that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about the touchy-feely. We're talking about being in touch with not only yourself, but with the people around you, that you are able to resonate with them, be on the same wavelength with them. So, Greg, you had any experiences before where somebody puts way more emphasis on IQ than on EQ? And what's the outcome of that been?
I think it's easy to measure IQ. It's a number.
Yep.
Right. And what's hard about EI or EQ is it's tough to quantify it.
Yep.
Measure it. You know when you don't have it, but that doesn't give
everybody
you
everybody around you knows. I don't know. Think.
Oh, that's
you
true.
Know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Everybody
yeah.
else
yeah.
knows.
When I use EI, it almost sounds like you can read up on it.
Sure.
And I think that's one of the questions I'd like to pose to the listeners and viewers, as well as you and I. Is it innate or is it learned? Hmm. You know, EQ, EI, what do you think?
I think there's some people that are probably much more tuned in to the emotions of others. They're maybe naturally feel a little bit more empathetic. But I think that I think it can grow. I think that like a muscle, you know, it can be built. Yeah. But I don't think that we got to make sure that when we're talking about emotionally connecting with people, the emotional intelligence, it's not just saying, "Oh, yeah, you were hurting and I was hurting too." That's not it's not the same thing as sympathy or compassion or empathy. Those are all parts of it, but it's being aware of where are my emotions so that I know how the other person, you know, when they said that and I went, "Ugh." And it made me angry. Well, wait a minute. What was my emotional level like? But then it's also saying, where's this other person's emotional level at? Because I need to be aware of that so I know how they're going to respond.
I think IQ is a stature.
Oh, yeah, for
sure. Like, so, you know, are you 140?
No.
No, I weigh 220. Is that what I weigh? Oh, I thought, you know. But I think stature with EI or EQ is really tough for people. Like, she's really good at emotional intelligence. Right. It might be how they made her feel, like the other person. But for emotional understanding, emotional connectedness, I think one of the first questions people would ask is, so how do I become more EI? Mm-hmm. How do I become more EQ?
Right.
Like really IQ can improve, you know, kind of like SAT scores, you can keep practicing, but EQ or EI, it's often training in the trenches.
Sure.
Like, whoo, that committee blew up. And so you kind of have to, you know, triage it and make sure people are heard. But it's not linear.
Sure.
I think that's where people get bothered. You know, humanity is like, well, that's a straight shot right there. Let's take that road, you know, why don't we take the scenic tour?
Well, and I think, you know, sometimes you'll hear people use the phrase like a hard skill and a soft skill.
Oh, good.
You know, and IQ or anything that you could like have somebody test. Okay, so you could put an EKG on me and you could get a hard score of what my heart rhythm is like. But when you say, boy, in the basketball game, when he's got heart, he can like dig in there, and that's something that can't be measured. So they'd call that a soft skill. And in the business world, I found that a lot of people sort of want to downplay, that's some of those soft skills. and they talk about them sort of dismissively.
Yeah.
Because I think because of what you said, I can't really measure it. Like I can't sit down and say, all right, Greg, take this test. Let me compare. Oh, hey, yeah. Your EQ went up X number of points. There isn't a test like that.
No.
The test is saying, wow, you were able to navigate that situation in a kind of emotionally tough situation better this time than you were last time.
I think early in this episode, we should probably clarify emotional regulation is not emotional intelligence or emotional quotient.
Right.
Not that regulation isn't important because
it is.
It's really important. But I think the emotional quotient, I have found those leaders to be very easy to be around. They're, kind of intuitive, hey, we got to pull her in. She kind of crossed her arms and, she didn't reply to the, study or the survey and I'll find out, how she's doing here. He comes in late and puts his head right down. He really is not adding to our culture as emotional quotient. I think for most people, we all wonder, how can we get better at this? Right. And in our notes, I think we are talking about being self-aware.
Yes.
And maybe play with that a minute, Craig. So how do we get better at EI or EQ, without really starting with ourselves?
Sure. I'll give you an example from the book that I wrote called When Sheep Bite. Leaders that are bitten by somebody and usually, I think somebody that probably has a lower EQ, the first response is like, smack, you
bit
me.
That's good. That's good.
A leader who's growing is aware enough to say, well, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Maybe I did something that contributed to that bite. Maybe I offended.
Ooh, that's really good.
Maybe I stepped on them. Maybe I ignored them. And they were just trying to get my attention. They were lashing out as a result of that. That's a part of the growth in that area. I think the first step is just simply the awareness of saying that hurt and I don't want to have to go through that again. So what can the first one I got to do, I got to pull out a mirror and get a look. Okay. Did I do something? Was that me that caused that?
Yeah.
That's a part of the awareness is something that maybe was in a blind spot and that somebody lashing out at me, a teammate that comes into your office and just goes and dumps and you go, whoa, like this. And then you have to say, oh, wait a minute. Did I contribute to that?
This is going to go upstream a minute and then we'll go back down. But I think for some of us to be self-aware, we really got to tap into humility. You just got to tap into it.
But define what humility, what do you mean by humility?
Well, being willing to be wrong. Being willing to hear someone else out, being willing to put down my agenda for a moment to make sure that we've got everybody around the table on the same page or at least in the same chapter, But humility meaning I want to make sure that I didn't contribute to this. Someone who's lacking that, probably isn't super EI. So it's humility to self-aware to really strong EQ EI. And I think for all of us, I've been around enough leaders and I've been in leadership in a number of places. It's like, yeah, it's hard to kind of have restraint, right? It's hard to maybe listen thinking, is this really efficient? If I just told you what to do, I could save myself 7 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think, just being humble, like let them have a journey too.
Right.
You've had some leaders in your life where you're like, he just doesn't get it. Like he's not seeing, he's losing people.
Right.
And it's almost like telling someone probably shouldn't have a double burger with fries. You might want the salad. Well, that's not what they're doing. And they didn't ask us.
Well, and I think that some of that awareness comes from just life experiences.
True.
Because I remember a leader having a conversation with me about, I had come to him and I said, you know, parents with school age children, this is going to be difficult. And he's like, nope, it's going to be like this and this and this. We can tough through it. Okay. And then when he became a parent with young children, then things started changing.
Okay.
And so I think that sometimes the that's our growth of like, I haven't even experienced that. And so part of your going back to your definition and your discussion about humility, that's really saying, hey, you know what? I probably don't have the same experience that you've had. You know what? You got kids and I don't. So let me pause for a second here. If I had kids... Yeah, okay, I could see that. That's what being emotionally aware is to say, all right, I haven't been in all the same circumstances as everybody else, and if I was, maybe I'd be feeling the exact same thing that they are. So I don't want to just dismiss their feelings. That's being emotionally numb to the other person that's just going, hey, you've got to feel this the same way that I feel it.
Right.
No, they don't.
We could switch your story and say someone who's already had kids, and then they hear an associated teammate who is, you know, having scheduling issues. You're like, I remember that.
Yep.
You know, versus, it's not me. So it's your problem.
Right.
I think the awareness really comes from humility and maybe putting others first.
What a novel idea for leaders
Well, it's not common. I know that, but I just think putting others first, like, how did this affect you? Or, you know, how can we make this a little better experience? I think you use empathy, compassion, sympathy. We like words, you know, we write books. Some put it all together.
Yeah.
They're all the same. No, they're not.
No.
I'm going to throw this to you because I know you do this a lot. And I've seen it already in your current career right now. Seeing people really helps EIEQ.
Yep.
Seeing people versus wishing to be seen.
Right.
So play with that a minute.
Oh, well, I'll give you a real-time example. I had, so Greg's talking about some of my work that I'm doing in a middle school setting right now. I had a young man, seventh grader, that was being bullied by a couple of kids.
Okay.
And so I said to the victim, I said, we're going to go talk to one of these guys who is bothering you. And I want you to share with him how you felt when he treated you that way. And he goes, I don't know if I'm ready to do that. I said, well, you think about it. So we kind of worked through it. By the end of the day, we sat down. And so the kid who had been bullying him, I said, I need you to sit here with your ears open and your mouth closed. I need you to listen. And this young man who was the victim, very nervous. He's rocking in his chair.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he looks at the guy and he says, you know, I'm a human. And when you said that and when you did that to me, it made me feel less than human. And I immediately turned and looked, and this kid who had been bullying him, I saw it in his eyes. That zinged him.
Like it registered.
And he went, whoa. And I said, okay, so listen, you're going to apologize. You need to apologize. But if you're not ready, if you're not going to mean the words that you're going to say, then let's not do it now. And he goes, no, I can do it now.
Ooh,
and his response back was very responsive to what this other young man had said to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sometimes now I'm going to chalk some of that up to pre-adolescent.
True.
You know, the frontal lobe just isn't working there yet.
To me, are you saying that?
No. but I think that that's part of the emotional intelligence growth is I got a chance to sit down and facilitate that.
That's good.
Would that have happened? So it was becoming emotionally aware for the victim to think through, what am I feeling?
And you saw it, though.
Right. And for the person who had been the bully to think through, what emotions did he prompt? And then now how did he feel it? And that's what I think emotionally aware leaders and ones that are growing in emotional intelligence are the ones that even if somebody doesn't sit down with them and say, hey, I'm going to need you to listen to what they're saying right here, that you would be self-aware enough to do that. Like, I need to say something here to a person that they clearly were injured here. And maybe I need to just close my mouth and open my ears and find out what's going on.
So you saw this young man, you know, head down, you know, kind of struggling through the day, and then let's pull this together, what's going on. So the seeing someone, how do we get better at it? Because it's so valuable. Like when someone knows, like you and your wife are walking into a restaurant and normally you come there and the hostess is amazing. And she goes, hello, I got a seat for you. That's not normally how would you teach the audience, myself, our executive producer who's listening stringently, to be better at seeing people?
I think I go back to that word that you used earlier, is that humility to say, you know, the world doesn't revolve around me.
I know.
And God. I know for that's a big leap for some people, because there are people that will tell you, they're like, no, I don't think that. Yeah, but you do. Everything is real. When you finally get to that spot where you're like, you know what? Other people, they might be right. I might be wrong. Mm-hmm. They might have a better viewpoint on this than I have on this. They right. might have an experience that I haven't had. That humility to be able to step back, that's going to be your first step, I think, to growing in the area of being emotionally aware. Mm-hmm. But you know, and it's two way. I got to be aware of how I'm feeling,
right.
Because I've learned, I'm not going to make really good decisions if I'm physically tired.
True.
You know, there's a cliche that we'll sleep on it and then we'll make a decision. I think that's wise in some cases, because sometimes
if you're tired.
Man, I'm tired. I can't think straight. And my emotions are a little stretched now because I'm physically tired.
Yeah.
I think that's part of being aware and, you know, sometimes being able to say, hey, this person is talking to me. I'm feeling kind of offended by their words, but wait a minute. I'm actually kind of tired. Maybe if I was more alert, maybe if I was more
rested,
maybe I wouldn't be as hurt by these words.
That's so good. Really good.
So it's a two-way street for sure. But can I put a plug in here real quick?
No.
For
sure.
This is, again, we've mentioned this before, this is the immense value of having a coach. It's a third party. They're not emotionally invested into your organization like you are. So, I mean, I'm telling you, and you say, oh, well, of course you're saying it because you guys have some coaching services. We do have coaching services. We're not the only ones. In fact, you might fill out our form and say, this is what I need help with. And we might look at it and say, okay, we can't help you, but there'll be somebody else. But please get somebody else that's got an outside perspective that can say, hey, you know what? You're just missing some of the emotions of somebody and you're missing out here. There's my plug. But maximizeleadership.com. Check out the coaching services on there.
Well, both of us have been gifted with mentors and coaches, not sports. I mean, like mentors and coaches in our life that some we hired and some were natural. Yep. They just wanted to invest, or we asked them to. Use the word perspective. I think that's part of being EQEI. Like, I need their perspective. I know mine.
Yep.
I wouldn't have done that, but now they're in trouble or they're frustrated or it looks like, you know, we got to save the day or problem solve. I think perspective is something that all of us leaders, maybe we start in the morning like, all right, God, give me really good perspective today. You know, like, and you could throw patience in there. Like, I'm kind of tired. I better not respond, you know. Sure. But I think perspective helps you see, and we'll laugh about it because we're two dudes, but, you know, our ladies were given a lot of intuition. I mean, that's unfair. I mean, I'm not complaining here, but that'd be one of the questions I'd ask God. Like, so you couldn't have given me a little more. You know, I'm going to save some embarrassment. But then you or Betsy, me and Karen, you know, like, okay, they're helping us with intuition. Yes. Yep. I might be a little short of it, or I might not see it.
But are we going to have the humility to listen to it?
There you go, brother. Right. Bring it back around. So yep. I think perspective, like, I just, I want to really be alert today.
Yep.
And I think it pressures us to maybe not be as productive minded. Like, yes. But we're not solo. We're yep. leading people.
Yep.
So if that person got some freedom, our company might be more productive because sure. we saw them.
Yep.
And I think you've had some great stories. I've got some great stories, and probably you all do. It reinforces, see people.
Yes.
Notice people.
Yep.
Example, we were on vacation just recently, and the person who we knew was going to be at the resort, just kind of seemed to have a little, dumper down, And so second day I saw him and I'm like, all right, I got 5 minutes. How's life? Not here. You're working. How's life?
Yeah.
That's all it took.
Yep.
And I said, you don't have to get into it if it's uncomfortable, if it's work related or, personal relationship. I just want you to know that I just didn't see the same, glint in your eye, you sure. know? And he goes, thanks for pointing it out. And he wasn't faking the next days. I think he had kind of a personal reckoning, like, so they're seeing it.
Right.
I must be carrying it.
Yep.
And I've had this so many times, maybe you have too, with a big office and you got hallways and you say, you doing good? Yeah. And you're like, I don't think so. I'm going to turn around. But we're so conditioned.
Right.
To not do that.
Well, and again, it goes back to that thing of like the measurables, okay, I can measure like how many emails I sent out or, the projects that I checked off my to-do list. I can measure that. How do you measure having the conversation with somebody? Like saying, wait a minute, they seem like they're a little off today. I'm just going to sit down with them at the lunch table.
Yep.
And just talk, and maybe I don't even ask them like, how are you doing? I just want to sit with them so they know that I see them, that I value them. Yes. And we're just talking about small talk. How do you measure that? And that's where I think business leaders have to remember that people are not machines.
Yeah.
They're not a part of the machinery that like you can just go tick, tick, tick
and check box
and check off the list.
Right.
Because some days you're going to be like, oh, like maybe I didn't realize this is the anniversary of the date that your grandmother passed away, and I didn't know that you're having a hard time with it that day.
Right. Yeah.
So I just, you got to be tuned in, and it might also be too of going, boy, I'm kind of struggling today, so I need to be aware that I'm not going to snap at people.
Very good.
My patience feels a little strained today, so I'm going to have to
go in your Rolodex. That's an old one. Or, go in your old film room and give an example maybe to the viewers, audience, an example of really good EI that you've had.
Well, something that I learned mainly from there was an older gentleman that we would get together about once a month, and he would talk to me, and he said, I watched you, and I was an associate pastor at a church, and he said, I watched you Sunday morning. You got a lot of responsibilities, and I saw you go through the lobby like, pretty quickly, and there's some people that wanted to talk to you, and he says, so I'd slow down, and he says, and remember, they want to talk to you. They just want to share some stuff with you. Mm-hmm. So he said, walk slowly. When they start talking to you, when you think that they're done, go like this.
Because they're not done.
Wait about that long before you're going to respond. If yes. they're still not talking at that point, go ahead and say what you want to say. But he said, I bet you in that time, they're going to start up again. They just want to be heard.
Ooh.
And that really stuck with me. And so I try to do that on a regular basis. I sometimes I can't get through the whole organization,
sure.
through all the people. All right, I'm going to go through this department.
That's a good one.
And I'm going slow. I'm going to go in there before people are clocked in and they're on their work, but I'm going to walk through And maybe I just see him, hey, say, good morning. You doing good today? Looking forward to a great day today. Hey, I know you just came back from that trip. How'd that go? You know, just it's not work related. Mm-hmm. It's not project related. It's not checking off. I just want to see them. I want them to see me. Yeah. I want them to know that I'm seeing them and that I'm looking out for them.
We'll wrap up here in a second. I just had one today. A client of mine went to Arizona, spent a few weeks, got out of the winter or whatever. And then he said, I got free tickets. Oh, free tickets too? Well, Waste Management's PGA tournament in Scottsdale. Mm. Wow. Did you like it? Well, yeah. I mean, we kind of just were walking. And then other couples saw us and they said, why don't you come to our suite? And I said, well, how was that? You know, just asking questions. And, oh, my wife loved it. Marsha was so pleased. And I said, I'll check in with Marsha. I'm just talking about you. And he just brushed it off. So I went back to his office today because I knew he was coming back this week, and I got him a Waste Management 26 hat, golf hat. And on my way back to his office, I happened to text his wife. I said, hey, I'm dropping off something for Tom. How was the experience in that suite when that couple invited you up? Well, 7 minutes later, I mean, she's talking about the food and, you know, names and exchanging contacts. And Tom didn't tell me that.
Right.
You know, and so I got in, gave Tom the hat, and I said, hey, brother, I really so thrilled you had a great time. And Marsha's perspective was a little different than yours, and I really liked both. Yeah. And he goes, I can't believe you got this hat. I says, well, it's only Thursday, so if you can get it on Amazon, it's 2 days. And I didn't get it on Amazon. But I like, maybe the wrap up is seeing people and hearing. Like, mm-hmm. I was heard.
Yep.
You saw me. Those two might help people improve their habits.
Right.
You know, behaviors as a EQEI leader.
Yep.
We got a quote to finish up with if you want to.
And go, right, for go ahead.
Well, the emotional intelligent person is skilled in three areas. Identifying emotions, that's a real big one, because otherwise your head's down because you need to get through your Excel spreadsheet, you got an IT problem, whatever it happens to be. And then embracing emotions, which there's where I find some of the leaders, myself included, like if I'm stressed or busy or tired, you know, like I don't have time for.
You better make time.
She or he probably deserves a little bit.
Right.
And I think the last one, just regulating emotions, because,
yes,
you know, they might say something like, you know, you're really good at that, you know, and then they say something like, I'm not going to argue with them, but I think that's a little off yet, you know, and I'll maybe come back and say, can I just throw this to you, like, for you to really see the whole picture, but thank you for being brave to share your
absolutely
worry, anxiety, frustration, opportunity, excitement. And quite frankly, I mean, I do succession planning with business owners, and EBITDA is an EBITDA, right? It's a number, it's a multiplier, it's often industry oriented.
Right.
So your tool and die company, you do X amount of sales, so your value is X times three. And then if I hear someone say, so yeah, my company is, we're somewhere between, 9 to 12 million. How does that change you? Will you live different? Do you feel it's a trophy because you beat your buddy who sold his company for 8.5? I'm just making something up. Where I really like playing, Craig, is in the tension, emotion, psychology of my company's worth 9 to 12 million. Well, if I sell it, who am I? Will anybody call me after I sell? Mm-hmm. So I like just noticing people. And so I had another meeting yesterday with a new business or new client business owner. And I said, on a scale of 1 to 10 right now, how afraid of you are to give the keys over? And as I could see his wife do, you can't, wait, I guess you can. His wife goes, it's okay. I mean, I'm like, oh, do I have, do Do I have to get tissues or right. what? Did I open up Pandora's box? And no, Greg, I'm petrified. Okay. That's where I work.
Yep.
The company's good. Beautiful company. Right. Great team. Great products.
Well, like you said, that's business is business, but
it's yep. metric. You yep. can measure it, right?
Yep.
You know, our sales are up. Okay. So if you sell it to the successor, then I would lose some credit, you know, or whatever. And I think that emotion, we really need to be careful as leaders, play there.
Yep.
It's messy. It's hard. And people express their emotions different. Some are pretty tough and you're like,
yep.
I got to crack this hard boiled egg, you know, and then all of a sudden it comes out, like you said,
yeah,
I got more, you know, yep. I just think it's an opportunity for us to really be human
yep.
as leaders. It's gadgets and gadgets, you know, quarterly P&L. Okay. Wonderful. But overall, like, you know, if you're not sleeping well, or your wife goes, you know, yeah, he comes home late at night, brings home work. All right, so you got balance, his identity. So I think as we meet with people, Craig, whether it's school or work or church or in the community, we really have to work on kind of trying to connect a little deeper. And I'm not going to pick up phones here, but that phone for a lot of people is like their friend. That phone knows nothing.
Right.
Like, you're great at connecting and asking and being patient. I'm working on it. But as we finish up here, I think EIEQ is potentially one of the top qualities to actually find people and grow them as leaders.
Yep. Yeah. So don't dismiss those things that might be called the soft skills, because they are more valuable than you are probably aware of. So as I mentioned earlier, maybe you need to contact a coach. You can check out MaximizeLeadership.com. We've got a coaching page on there. You can also find out some of Greg's books and
yours
and a new book that's in process.
Ooh, that's a good one too.
Sure.
We're not? About. I don't have anything to say
yet.
Yeah. You're going to help me though, aren't you?
It's going to be a good one.
Please. Absolutely. Thank you very much.
But please check out the resources that we have available. We want to help you grow as a leader. Hey, can we ask a favor as well too? If you haven't already on YouTube, if you haven't subscribed, if you would do that and click the bell, because there's a lot more than just these full length conversations. We've got some shorter things that come out as well. And we want you to be aware of those as they come out. And you could also either leave a comment here or on X. You can reach out to us at Maximize Podcast and give us some feedback either on this episode, or maybe you want to share a suggestion of a topic that you would like to hear about. We're here to resource you, because when you get better as a leader in the hard skills and the soft skills, everybody around you is going to get better as well. You're going to lift that lid, and that's what we're all about. So stay tuned, because there's lots more great content that's going to be coming your way real soon.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of The Craig and Greg Show.